back now for side two of our interview today with Deborah Matthews Wright. So, now you have three younger siblings, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now how much younger is the next youngest in your family?
There's 5 years between me and the next sibling, and then 6 years between the next one, and then there's 10 years between me and the youngest.
Wow, so your family's really spread out in time.
We really are. So when you think about it, Adonna, who's the youngest, she's 35, and Gwen's 52. So
it's quite a spread.
It's quite a spread.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. So how were things different from them by the time they started school as compared to your experience?
Oh, a lot different. Integration was in full bloom. The acceptance of integration was much better. I think we were dealing, or society was dealing with a different generation of students, and so they were more open to interacting with each other. And my brothers did, the two next to me are boys, and there was some interracial dating, and so there was, it was completely different. My younger sister was very active in a lot of activities, and my brothers were too. So I look back on those times, because at the time I was still at home. I was in college, maybe still at home, but I remember the door coming in with people of color. It was just, their friends were different, a lot of different friends, a variety of people. Not just racially, but socially, economically. It was just a multicultural kind of situation. So my house, when I think back on the friendships that my younger brothers and sisters had and the interactions that they had, quite different from mine. Hmm. Quite different from mine. I know very different from Gwen's. So in a positive way.
Yeah, you bet. Wow. And now you have children of your own.
Mm-hmm. She's only well, she'll be five Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
She's a little one.
So she hasn't started. Is she in kindergarten now?
She's in preschool.
Preschool.
And it's really interesting to hear her deal with the whole issue of race. And so we're working through what it means to be African American, and what it means to be white, what it means to be Chinese, and Latino. And so she has lots of questions about race and color. And so I try to talk with her about the differences in people and help her identify people and share with her that although they may look different, they like this too, and she likes ice cream too, just like you do. She has a young lady, a little girl who's Latino in her class, and we talk a lot about Cindy, and when we see Spanish things or Mexican things, I say, this is the kind of background Cindy has. And so I'm not quite certain, your next question may or may not be, where will I take her, or how will I raise her, or how will they impact my parenting of Brianna? And I think that basically I just want her to be open and receptive. I want her to be open and receptive to people of color and people of different backgrounds. I would like for her to be as multicultural as possible, but by the same token, there's such a fine line, because I do feel that my experiences had an impact on my self-esteem in terms of my abilities, always feeling as if I had to prove myself. And so I never doubted that I had the abilities, but what I doubted was whether or not the majority would accept the fact that I was capable and that I was able and that I was, that I am intelligent and that I am capable and that I can do things. And so the experiences that I had an impact. It has to have an impact on your self-esteem, on your self-concept. You just can't go through something like that and not have your self-esteem affected. So there's a fine line. I want her to be open, and I want her to experience different things, but I also want her to be comfortable with who she is. And I want her to be comfortable with being African-American. And I want her to be comfortable with her own background and her own culture. And what I have tried to do is give her a solid background about being African American first. And then we're building on that, because I think that that is real important. Being comfortable with who she is. And then I think that good positive concept is important to accepting other people, because I think that not accepting other people comes from your own sense of insecurity and your own sense of not knowing or not understanding who you are and who you are in relationship to other people. And so when you feel good about yourself and you feel good about who you are and you feel good about your own race and how you look, and your hair may be curly, although theirs is straight, and you have brown eyes and someone has blue eyes, if you feel good about who you are, I think you're going to be open to accepting other people for who they are also. Be open to it, and by the same token, not be intimidated by it. Because you can be open to other people but still be intimidated by that difference also. So I don't want her to be intimidated by it. I want her to have good, positive self-esteem and realize that she's okay, that she's okay, and so is everyone else, regardless of who they are.
Are you anticipating any real challenges for her from a racial standpoint or a cultural standpoint?
I don't anticipate the kinds of challenges I had. I think that her challenges will be more subtle. I think that integration has done a lot for society as a whole, but I think we all would be fooling ourselves to say that prejudice and discrimination are gone and that there's none of that. It's just not as overt as it used to be. And I still experience it at work. It's more subtle. So I think her challenges will be to be more astute about racism and discrimination, because it's going to be a lot more subtle. It's much easier, and I use that, put the word easier in quotations for me, because it was out there. People let me know how I knew how they felt. They didn't like me. They didn't want me there. But I think that in the years to come, that there's an undercurrent of prejudice and discrimination that I think the people of color will have to be more aware of than we have been aware of in the past. And I think that the challenges eventually may become more obvious as society becomes more multicultural. Because as we know, people of color are going to begin to, the number of people of color is going to expand or increase. And so the majority will no longer be the majority, so to speak, in terms of numbers. And so that may be a little unsettling for the white majority, and by the same token, it may affect the society in a strange way. But I think for the time being, I think relationships are ones to cherish, but I think that her challenge will be to be more aware of the subtleties of discrimination.
Great. Okay, well, kind of shift gears a little bit. Maybe okay. We can talk a few minutes about just your general impressions of life in this area and in and around Cary, growing up here, mm-hmm. living here, how things have changed over the years in terms of maybe growth, mm-hmm. or just all the different changes. And if you have any specific stories that you'd like to share with us about growing up in this area.
I don't really have any specific stories. I think that Cary as a whole, as we hear in the news and we hear about the statistics of North Carolina being one of the fastest growing towns there is, I think that I just have seen a tremendous change in the attitudes of people. And I think that a lot of that also has to do, I think, with the fact that a lot of people who live in Cary aren't from Cary, which is interesting. And I think that brings a different perspective about the way of the world and a different perspective about people and differences with it. And I think that that's a positive thing. I think Cary is still somewhat, probably, and I don't have any statistics, any proof of this, it's still probably predominantly white-oriented. And I think that that's the case, but I don't think that when African Americans are in Cary or go to Cary, that we feel the way that we used to feel. We no longer feel as if we aren't wanted or that we shouldn't be there. And I think over the years that was the case. There was the feeling that we shouldn't be there because we were Black. And I think the community and the town as a whole has changed in that regard, which is very positive. It really is.
Yeah, sure is. Gwen shared with us some of her memories of times when everything was segregated and going shopping in Raleigh and those kinds of things. Do you have memories of separate drinking fountains and those kinds of things?
The earliest memory that I have of the fact that there was a difference was when I assume I was 4 or 5, but I was preschool age, and had, of course, grown up in an all-Black community, gone to an all-Black church, and only been around Black people. And my mother and I were shopping at Hudson Belk, which used to be downtown. I don't know how long you've been here, but the Hudson Belk was the department store that was in Raleigh. So we had gone to Hudson Belk to shop, and I remember telling her that I had to use the bathroom. And I remember her saying, okay, we'll go to the bathroom. And I remember saying, but I have to go now. And she kept walking. And I said, but I have to go now. And I remember her saying, I know, but I have to find the colored bathroom. And I remember that. And I remember thinking, what is a colored bathroom? And I didn't know until, you know, she had to explain it to me later. I didn't understand. We went to the bathroom. But that was my first experience of realizing that things were different and things were separate. And when she actually made that statement that she had to find the colored bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know that there was a colored bathroom.
Yeah, wow. Do you have any other memories
that? I really don't, because by the time we were so segregated in our personal lives that I really don't have a lot of stories of the water fountain, and living in a rural area, I don't have a whole lot of stories of the colored water fountain and the white water fountain and that sort of thing. And then my first experience is really being with school, being integrated. So our personal lives were very segregated, and so I really didn't have the opportunity to experience those distinctions in my personal life until I was really in school. And then in school, there really weren't separate things then.
Do you have any other stories you want to share about just life in general and in this area?
No, I can't think of anything else that comes to mind at this point in time. No.
Do you remember the names of the other students that you started at Swift Creek with? And have you stayed in touch with any of them?
No, I do remember the names.
Okay.
One was Sherry Pope. She was one of the people who kind of befriended me at Swift Creek. And another name is Janice. And I don't remember her. Janice, I do see she works here in the area. We don't stay in contact, but I see her every now and again. And another was Mary Jo Jones. And the young woman that I became, the student that I became friends with in high school, where we became very good friends, her name was Becky Rambo, and it's R-A-M-B-E-A-U. And we tried to stay in contact a little when we went to college. She went to East Carolina, and I ended up going to Meredith, and then we just kind of got separated, and I haven't talked to her or seen her in years. Mm. And I was thinking back on this experience and would love to know where she is and what she's doing, but I have no idea where she is. It'd
be fun if we could find her.
It really would be. It really would be. Her mother, she lived in what was considered the Morrisville area at the time, and her mother may still be there. I don't know if her mother ever remarried or not because her father was deceased. But and her name is Rebecca, I think, Rambo. But I don't know if Carrie High would have a record of where she might be as a result of graduating from Cary High or East Carolina. I hadn't thought of that either. East Carolina probably may have an address as an alumni of East Carolina. But I would love to see her. I would love to talk with her.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Because I think that in her own right, she was a trailblazer. I think I remember just the puzzled looks that even her friends gave her, and she always included me. It was always as if she didn't see any color. It was kind of like I was one of all of her friends, and whenever she did anything, I was included. But I could feel the distance that of the friends, of her white friends. But to her, it was just, we're all just one big happy family, and she never seemed to feel any difference toward me or feel any slight toward me at all, which was a good feeling at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It really was.
Interesting. Well, I'd love to find any of these people, any of the people that you started school with or what mm-hmm. have you.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be great if we could maybe locate some of them.
It would be.
See if we can.
It would be.
Great. Is there anyone else you can think of that we might want to interview?
Stephanie Ballantyne, she was a neighbor, and she was one of the ones who went to school when I did. And her father lives, if you're familiar with Tryon Road, do you know where Gorman Street and Tryon Road intersect? And then there's a church that's being remodeled. And her father lives in the first house right after the church. The church is on the right. He lives in the house on the right. And his name is Stanley Ballantyne. And we live, my father still, we live still four houses down from there on Tryon Road. But Stephanie went on to Duke and was one of the few people who graduated from Duke's dental school at the time. And so she may be someone that, I think she now lives in Charlotte, I don't know, but her father would be able to tell you how to contact her, I'm sure.
Wonderful. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think that would be, she would probably be a good person to talk to.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, is there anything else
There's
that you can think of that we haven't touched on?
Did I answer all your questions?
Yeah, well, you were just absolutely wonderful. This was a fantastic interview, and it's extremely valuable to not only my own organization, the Page Walker, but to anyone else who may hear it. So we just are very grateful to you for your time and all of your knowledge. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.